Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy welcoming you here tonight with us. We got a good one lined up for you tonight. Part 4 of the Creator's Journey. Well, we're going to go to the area that is most noted, the number one wonder in the world. That's the pyramids. We're going to investigate who built the pyramids in Egypt. Our history tells us that the pyramids were built approximately 3,000 years ago. But the facts state and the evidence that they were built far longer ago than just 3,000 years ago. If you take the stars of the Belt of Orion and then place Orion as it comes up in the night. And at the time that it passes over the pyramids, something amazing happens in the constellations and on the earth. And there is a religion, there is a history of a religion of those who worship the constellation of Orion. And particularly the Belt of Orion. If you look at the positioning at a particular time, you'll find something very remarkable. The position of the three pyramids of Giza are exactly aligned with the position of the three stars in the Belt of Orion. Now, I think that's incredible. Just a chance, or did the Egyptians 3,000 years ago, did they have this knowledge? Did they have a compass? Could they align? Could they see these vast differences? Could they know the mathematical formulas involved with all of the geometric positions that we're talking about here? I don't think so. If you see that the position of these three stars, both are positioned in size, while it is possible if you would see the exact alignment with the position of the three stars, it would create many, many difficulties for the Egyptians in terms of measuring huge distances that's involved here. Not only this, but in fact, at the time when the pyramids were supposedly built, about 3,000 B.C., the stars that make up the Belt of Orion were not exactly at the correct angles to match up with the pyramids. Now, either we are giving credit to the Egyptians who had no credit earned at all to build them, or they made a huge mistake, or time made a mistake. Well, let's see. If the location of the stars is traced back over thousands of years, the time at which the belt is exactly aligned with the pyramids, is in fact 10,500 years ago before Christ. 10,500. This is a time when there were supposedly no civilized humans living in the earth. Another fact to support this is, if you consider the Sphinx, it represents a line with a human head and the size. Then you look at the size of the body, you can see that the body is perfectly proportioned for the head of a lion, not the human head. This human head looks tiny and silly sitting on top of the body. This is because the Sphinx was actually built in 10,500 B.C., around the same time as the pyramids, with a real head of a lion. Evidence to support this is that there are signs of water erosion all over the Sphinx. And the last time that there was any water nearby in the region, aside from the Nile, is around 10,000 B.C. Also, the constellation of Leo the Lion, which is closely related to the Sphinx, was in fact rising directly behind the sun in 10,500 B.C., right on line. We'll talk a little bit more about the solstice, winter and summer, and the equinox, spring and fall. They relate also, closely relate to this. Now, if the Egyptians built the pyramids to be in the exact shape of Orion's belt, but supposedly aligned them differently from what was actually in the sky, then where is their engineering ability? They wouldn't have made that mistake if they had all the other details and knowledge and information. They would have not done that. We're out of time here, folks. The pyramids are much older than 3,000 years. After they built the Sphinx, whoever built it, I'm going to get into who built it, and that's why we're talking about the Creator's journey. Did angels, these angels that had access to the earth before they were banned from interfering with man's evolutionary evolvement, if you like to call it that, spiritual evolvement, the physical and the natural. We have evolved over the years. I mean, 100 years ago, we couldn't even go into the sky in a plane. But now we have the ability to go into to space, if we believe what we see here. So we have evolved, and as the old Virginia Slim cigarette commercial, we've come a long way, baby. And I'm telling you what, folks, if you knew what's being withheld on the information highway, you just don't know how far we've advanced in the last 100 years. It is absolutely incredible. If you see that they built the pyramid, and we can go back to a point in around 10,500 B.C. and get the proper belt alignment of Orion, we can match his belt with the three pyramids. Now, something strange about the three pyramids, they're not in a direct line. They're offset. If you look at Orion's belt, the stars that's in the belt system of Orion, they are exactly matched to the offsetting. The third pyramid is offset, and so is Orion's belt. It's incredible. It matches perfectly. Now, to know how to do this involves some mathematical genius of a primitive people. You know, if we start with a caveman, and then 3,000 years ago, we have evolved to the point they knew all this. I don't believe that the Egyptians built the pyramid. I do not accept. There are not many things that they can build today, let alone the pyramids. That's not to say that they downgraded their genetics to the point where, but even there's not a nation on the earth. I'm not picking on the Egyptians because they have a lot of history, and it's fascinating what history they do have. But beyond the Egyptian race, starting with the Bible, when in around the 1400 whatever BC, the House of Israel was permitted to leave the Egyptian bondage. It was a great nation and a great area, and at this time it was very fertile. But the desert has crept in and taken its toll, with the annual percentage rate of rainfall decreasing steadily to reveal a stark desert. It used to be lush and fruitful. This was the paradise, I believe. And here is where Enoch and the angels, both of them, assisted each other in building the pyramid. This is where the knowledge began to be transferred from the angelic force to earth and earthlings. And some of these angels were good, as I've said in the Creator's Journey series, and this is the fourth in the series, and some were bad. If you look at the water from the Nile, it could not, laying in its present body state form, could not have weathered the elements in 3,000 years, could have not have weathered the Sphinx and eroded it as such as it has. We see visible water, standing water, Mark. So, if we go back and look at the Great Pyramids of Giza, we're going to have to take another look. And a lot of people support my ideals that they were built by a more intelligent race than was the Egyptians. Why is it that the Great Pyramid of Giza, if it was built in 3,000 years in the past, they're perfect and still standing as tall as the day they were built, aside from the capstone and the polished stones, which were stripped by humans in the building of Cairo? The other pyramids, which were supposedly built around 500 years later, have all shoddy masonry and are crumbling and falling down. Well, that's the ones that the Egyptians built. They had nothing to do with these magnificent structures that were built and designed and mathematical creation by the creators on their journeys to leave a legacy. Come, let us build a tower type mentality. So this, the Tower of Babel, is not the tower or the towers of the pyramids. These were actual ancient structures to remind us of where we came from. I can't stress enough that we're not from the planet Earth. We are aliens. We are not originally, not all of the Earth are aliens. Some are here as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed in the fire of the Earth, and the God of this Earth is their provider. He cares for them. They rule now the Earth. The serpent race, the reptilians, the evil ones, the fallen ones, in flesh and body, flesh and blood form, they rule this planet today. And if you knew the extent of the rule, you probably wouldn't sleep too good tonight. And their intelligent capabilities, taking you captive at their own will if they need it. When you're not a threat to them, they don't bother you. If you don't interfere with their agenda, they won't bother you. But if you do, they will cut you off quickly, and you'll disappear, and nobody will investigate. This is real. And why is the suppression? Why is it that all these truths are being purposely suppressed from the majority of the people, or for purposely from to one people who, once we figure out the mystery, can solve it, and the puzzle solved, and then the show's over and we all go home. Job well done. The Bible talks about in the days when the mysteries of God's, the mystery of the Creator's journey is ended, we will know the rest of the story, as our good friend Paul Harvey would say. We're almost on page 2, ladies and gentlemen. Now look at this. If you take the perimeter of the pyramid and divide it by 2 times the height, you get the number that is exactly equivalent to the number pi. 3.14159, up to the 15th digit. The changes of this phenomenon happening by sheer chance is remarkably small. Did the ancient Egyptians know what the number of pi was? Not likely, seeing that it was only evidence that the number and never calculated accurately to the 4th digit until the 6th century. And the pyramids calculate to the 15th. Now, look at the fact that even though the sides of the base of the pyramid are some 757 feet long, does that remind you of the towers in New York that got bombarded with a 757? Something like that. It still forms an almost perfect square. Every angle in the base is exactly 90 degrees, an engineering feat that is not possible not only by the Egyptians of today, but not even the ingenuity of any other nation in here. You say, oh, if we wanted to, we could. Well, there has been engineers and scientists that have studied the pyramids for the last 100 years or longer. And even today, every one of them will agree that the peak of the building, the concave side, the slopes, the 90 degrees, the angles, the way the stones are cut, and the way they're placed in precision, and the way that they interlock inside with the chambers hollowed out, ain't no way. There ain't no way that we could do it. There's no nation that could duplicate right now. Every angle in the base, as it said, is exactly 90 degrees. In fact, the sides have a difference in length of something like 2 centimeters, which is an incredible small amount. And the fact is that although the Egyptians kept very careful records about everything they did, every king that had every war that they fought and every structure that they built, there is no records of them ever having built the pyramid. Like I say, there is imitations that is proven to be built after the fact that they tried. Some of these pharaohs and great Egyptian kings tried to duplicate some of these buildings. And some of the most shoddy work you've ever seen. It's a shame compared to this pyramid that was built 10,500 years ago or longer. Could have even been 12,000 years ago in that range. But it lines up perfectly with time going back in the astronomy measurements, 10,500, and it fits a number of scenarios that bring a lot of unanswered questions to the table as solvable. If you take the longitude that the pyramid lies on, and the latitude that the pyramid lies on, 31 degrees north by 31 degrees west. The fact that they are the same number Is that a coincidence? There is some mathematical numbers in here that'll blow you away. Blow me away. I studied the pyramids for 50 years and been fascinated from day one. I have never ceased and tired of studying and trying to gain information about how these wonderful, wonderful stone memorials were built and why they had these alignments and why all these mathematical measurements and things of this nature and how they tie perfectly into the constellation of Orion. And it's particularly in the region of Orion's belt. It's amazing what's there. Are we from that region of the stars? Is there an undetected planet called heaven somewhere in the constellation of Orion where that we were transplanted and brought to Earth and everything that is on the Earth, that is growing on Earth, before it grew on Earth according to Genesis chapter 2, before it grew, or before it was in Europe, it was already created somewhere else. That's exactly what the book of Genesis says. It's amazing. I am amazed at all this. If, like I said, we had a group of modern scientists that really wanted to come together and had the funds, I mean, this thing was, oh, it's just, and they attempted to build a pyramid next to the real one using modern technology, and after something like 100 days succeeded in building one about 1/40th of the size of the real one. That was the Japanese engineers that gave up and then said, no way. Did you know that the height of the pyramid at 481 feet is almost exactly 1/100 millionth of the distance from the Earth to the Sun, like 480.6 billion feet. I'm telling you, we have to face up here. If you look in the southern air shaft of the King's Chamber that is pointed straight at Orion, at the time the Great Pyramid was built around that time, you can take the calculations and the shaft that pointed straight at Orion's belt, and if you can see that, then the pyramids of Giza were supposed to be the three stars of Orion's belt, Zeta, Epsilon, and Delta. And in the Nile Delta, the Nile River is depicted above us in the Milky Way, where the Orion's belt and the pattern, see as it was above, so below. Somebody had a great amount of knowledge and went, according to our labor and, well, what it would take to build, the pyramid, the giant pyramid in Egypt, as I told you in the Creator's Journey series, is 13 acres. 13 acres at its base. I'm telling you. And if you had to carry and build these pyramids with the stones that weighed about 2 tons, which would be 4,000 pounds. And we have never solved the riddle of the cement that they've used. Chemists and science has examined the formula for this cement to hold these giant stones together. Some of them are so tightly sealed that you cannot even get as much as a razor-thin cigarette paper between the blocks that have been set, and if they've been set for over 10,000 years, this is an amazing feat, because our buildings are built to move or sway or to give. And yet, here is a technology of stone with cement that has never come unglued, and all the moving and shaking of the earth, it still remains. And once it had its limestone polished casings, you're only seeing, what you're seeing now is the strip version of the pyramid. You're not seeing the finished product. Matter of fact, the capstone was deliberately left off to send a signal from the Bible. And the Bible says that there shall be an altar. And that is exactly what at the center of Orion and Orion's belt, it is at the point where the precession of the equinox, we'll talk about that in a moment, 13,000 years up and 13,000 years back. And 13 is the base of the pyramid. And approximately 13,000 years ago, give or take a few thousand years here, we have this incredible thing called the pyramids aligned to the proper place in Orion's belt, Zeta, Epsilon, and Delta. It's not possible that any other pyramids might represent other stars and Orion. In fact, if you realize that the pyramid or the other pyramids that are there corresponding to the star at the Hunter's Left Foot and the pyramid at Zayat Al Aran, you will see that the star is at his right shoulder. It would, of course, have been utterly conclusive that if the hourglass shape had been completed by two other pyramids, but unfortunately these have either never been built or have long since vanished under the sand. What does that mean? We have what we would describe as a perfect hourglass example of someone with the measurement of knowledge that the southern shelf at 44 degrees, when it was actually 45, this measure means that the line was directly targeted on Zeta Orionis, although a century later than is generally believed. That's correct. Then we have what we would say a perfect place for the king and queen's chamber to illustrate the great prophetic scripture of Isaiah 19:19. And that's no coincidence. It's placed right there at that point that there would be an altar. In the midst of Egypt. And this would be a monument. And that's exactly what it is, built by those who came from heaven to commemorate and to point the direction of those who came here as strangers and pilgrims, forgetting their way, that this could be a constant reminder pointing its way back to the stars from whence we came. If you look at the precession of equinox, the wobble on the Earth's axis is what causes its position in relation to the stars to change, like a wobble. 1 degree over 7... through the procession, I'm talking about as the procession of the equinox, with the wobble of the Earth's axis, it causes its position in relationship to the stars to change 1 degree over 72 years. Now, isn't it amazing that 72 backwards is 27? And that the width of the Ark of the Covenant was 27, which reduces to 9. And that the length of the Ark of the Covenant was 45, which it reduces to 9. And 9 is the master key number in relationship to these changes and these degrees. And 72, remember, was 72 elders that was in the presence of Yahweh upon the mountain, 70 elders, and Moses and Yahweh make 72. There were 70 elders that went up and saw, the Bible said, the face of God, and did eat and drink with him. What mountain was it sitting on? What great temple, altar, were they in the presence of God? The Bible says it was in the book of Exodus, that they saw God there, and they saw his face, and they ate and drank with him. And you say, well, the Bible said it. No man has seen God's face at any time. Yeah, that's what it says, but you've got to write and divide that. No man has seen God save he which is of God. You know, when Moses wanted to see his face, Yahweh showed himself to Moses, because Moses, when he was on the earth and could not stand the vibrations that would have probably shook Moses off his bone. He had to wear a veil just by seeing his rear end. What do you think he had done if he'd seen his face? But it says here that these special elders and this 72 relationship is 1 degree over 72 years. It's amazing. 365, and we're talking about the organization of the mathematics of pi, all built into the pyramid with a master code number of 3. I'm telling you, folks, somebody knew something far longer than we have realized, and the evidence is still laying here in front of us, and good bloodhounds need to, you know, to blow the conditioned smoke of the smog of the chemtrails out of our nostrils and begin to breathe deeply and see the presence or see the face of our Creator. And these greater gods have come down here deliberately to blind us, to prevent us from going back or finding the way out of this maze that they've built, this confusion, these illusions. We need to get on. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to proceed to the procession of equinox. 72 years completes a circle every 26,000 years. Remember I told you 13 up and 13 back, 13 base and 13 base. This is all depicted in the constellation of Orion as it relates back to us. Where Orion was particularly concerned is that this wobble causes the constellation to travel upwards into the sky for 13,000 years and then downward again. But if it does this, the constellation also tilts slightly. In other words, the hourglass turns clockwise and then back. Isn't that amazing? If you note that the only time the pattern of the pyramids on the ground is in a perfect reflection of the stars in Orion's belt, as I've already mentioned to you, through this procession, and not tilted sideways, was in 10,500 B.C. This is the lowest point in the sky. Isn't that amazing? And they were still alive. At this point, when it comes to its lowest point, 13,000, if you will, 13,000 years in its procession. Remember, it takes 26,000 years to complete a procession. Well, did you know that the YH, the VH, is the Holy Tetragrammaton, and when you add its total value up, it's 26. Another amazing mathematical figure to cause us to ponder and to wonder and to behold, because the Bible says the heavens declare His glory. And who only could have done this other than the mathematical creator or creator's assistance of the divine energy of the essence of the Spirit, God is Spirit. And they who manipulated and saw the mathematical formula on this geographical base had to have knowledge of the earth and its lay and its measurement, not only the earth but the heavens. Would have had to be in perfect union and measurement to have this ability to display this 10,500 years ago. I'm telling you, I'm blown away with just the fact. If you look at Plato's account of Atlantis, Plato adds, and also says that God makes souls in equal number with the stars. Was he really talking about the souls of man or the souls of gods? Does these gods have souls? Are they responsible? Do they reap what they sow? Can they sin? Can they be cast down? With all this knowledge that has been amassed, it seems to me that there was just a general disagreement, if you will, about what to do with man. And if you look at the day of the winter solstice from the entrance of the Great Pyramid, you will see a shape silhouetted in the middle of a photograph of your vision, which is the Sphinx, if you align it. Since this is only a object to get your triangulation, you'll find that the Sphinx head will have the sun tracing around it, and the sun rises exactly at the left side through this wobble of the base of the Sphinx head, then it traces it all the way around the head until it sits on the right side of the Sphinx head. Is that a coincidence? Or did the ancient Egyptians know this? Or did the gods that came from the heavens, who were able to travel in their chariots, spoken about in the book of Psalms 68 verse 17, that these chariots, and ladies and gentlemen, there is purported to be that some of these chariots, these are called the motherships. Some of the motherships are as big, they're so big that they have to be parked outside of the range of the earth missiles and things of this nature that could, well, if they could ever get one sent up that way, man could ever get an attempt to shoot one down, he probably would. I mean, we're so full of ourselves. We think what we are, we are King Kong here on the earth, and we do act like a bunch of monkeys. Very primitive, because these ships are 20 miles, and some of them are bigger and longer. But the scout ships that come down, these investigative craft. These are thousands of years old, and they know how to work time. They can travel outside the space line that we have to walk inside the line. They can work outside the line when permitted. Now, when permitted. Remember, at one time they had the run of the universe. They could come and go at will. Satan's mission was to go, he was going to and fro. He could come to Earth and he could leave Earth and go back into space. And when the Elohim of Genesis chapter 6 looked down, they came down about it. Yahweh and the Elohim, that is plural for other gods or for angels, if you will. These intelligent beings, they came down and they assessed the situation between Genesis 1 and Genesis 6. Again, they determined that something was going to have to be done with the angelic beings, the sons of God, who from heaven came, and the daughters of men who were cohabiting and mating and producing offspring that were only continuously growing evil. And the book of Enoch talks about it, and that's why it was banned from the scriptures. They didn't want you to know. Somebody didn't want us to know. And I believe it was stamped approval by Satan and his angels who did not want the truth about what they did or what they're doing. Because as long as we don't figure out their plan and what they're doing and expose them, then the game will keep on going. And then they get to delay the inevitable, which is they're going to have to pay for what they've done. They have tampered with our DNA. It is obvious. So if you look at the winter solstice, you can see that this wobble as it rises on the left side of the base of the Sphinx head, and then it begins to trace itself all around the head until it sets on the right side of the Sphinx head. And you can see this in the winter solstice. Who knew this? I mean, you know, who gave us this ability to find that out? I don't know. And if you look at, let's look at another piece of evidence here. If you diagram the Great Pyramid, you will look at that actually the compass rose in the bottom right. You can see that the pyramid is lined up exactly with the magnetic north pole, 51 degrees, a difference of only 16 minutes. Now, if you think that's a whole lot, I mean, our scientists tell us today that we could not match the feet with our precision type instruments because the structures that we would build, or we would build, would give and shake and gyrate and it would flux in and out and it would constrict and things of this nature to the point that there would be so much alignment movement. The pyramid don't do that. It is 16 minutes. And if you think that is not a very small number, then you can determine this. There are 60 minutes in 1 degree. So it's less than 1/3 of 1 degree off in its setting. And this could be due to some of the shifts of the Earth itself and its natural shifting, because the Earth is tilted now to 23.5 degrees, and we are in desperate, if we go to 24, goodbye world. We could tilt, and I mean, the show could be over. Continents could slide up under one and move out, and what is frigid could be torrid, and vice versa. And that's happened in the past, and there is a remote chance that it can happen in the future. If we don't quit experimenting with all these thermonuclear devices trying to get more power to kill one another and destroy one another or to destroy something. What are they worried about? Why are we out there searching? Why are we concerned about space? Why is it so relative to our cause? I don't think it's a coincidence that the pyramids were aligned to magnetic north at 51 degrees, which is only 16 minutes out of 1 degree. That's very close, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking razor thin closeness here and precision. Did the Egyptians know how to do that? I don't think so. I do not think so. If you look at the pyramid and highlight it from, in other words, you had a bird's eye view of this thing, you'll get the message, because you have to have a bird's eye view. Somebody knew the angles, the triangulation, the degrees, north, south, east, and west, the compass. All these, 10,500 years ago, somebody built and coded these messages into an altar or a block of stone, 13 acres, which represents the 13,000 years precession of the equinox up in the Milky Way, which the Milky Way itself represents the Nile and the Delta, and the three stars in Orion's belt, they are precisely aligned, and the descending shaft at the time of the alignment at 10,500 years ago was Polaris, the northern star. And remember, it's the big star of the north, and to this wobble situation, mariners navigate by, somebody knew how to do this 10,500 years ago, before man became as knowledgeable as he is today, and even today we can't match some of the mathematical feats that were encoded into the pyramid with our technology. We haven't solved this riddle at the pyramid, ladies and gentlemen, when we do. And there is prophecies that beneath the pyramid is the chambers, secret chambers undiscovered. You say, oh, I doubt that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when the experimentation, and some of the people suspected that maybe that there was, and so they got out this, what we call image radar, which radar sends out a signal, and if there's a hollow chamber, or if there's an area where that it the radar doesn't meet a resistance, it will draw you a diagram through the pictorial radar, and it will show up on their outprints. When they tried to do this, they got the strangest reaction that they'd ever got from the invention of this machine. It simply would not or could not scan the pyramid. It wouldn't work. It was confused. The radar sent strange conflicting signals. It never happened anywhere else on Earth except in this region when they were trying to do this. Now, if there is secret chambers beneath, there must be a magnetic force that has been employed, activated, if you will, and still working from 10,500 years ago for the advent when modern man would have the ability to bring the scanning devices on board and to see what is hidden in or beneath the pyramid. You say, well, if all this is to be revealed at a later time, why did they go? That's exactly right. It's a set time, and it will not happen a minute too soon or a minute late. It will come as the prophecies are given. That in the last days, the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the Creator's journey, if you will, those who from heaven came will be solved. There will be no more mystery. We'll see it all. It'll come clear. And then the game's over. We win. We go home. Where's home? Wherever our creators are is where we're from. And he's made us a promise. I go away, and if I go away, I'll come again, receive into myself. That where I am, there, not here. You may be off. We are going to be reconnected to our original genetic roots from the stars. And then we will have full access not only to the Earth. The Earth is just a footstool, ladies and gentlemen. Think bigger than the Earth. Say, well, the rats going in there. That is the, that's why we came here. We came here to subdue it and to control it. And we've been out of control since the evil ones, since sin entered in. Man has continued to have been evil. His mind has been evil, as it was in the days of Noah, Genesis 6, so it is today. But it takes that type of scenario to end this game that we've been playing. And all in the same time, you got an experience of your life. You said, boy, have I ever. I've been through hell. Well, you got to go through hell to get to heaven. And all this is done deliberately to make you an experienced creator on a journey. Did you know the Bible said it thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So, if you're thinking like I'm thinking, and think high. I mean, don't think low. Think as your Creator would think. Think in the terms that you can do all things, like has been suggested for you to think. And if you'll do that, then you begin to think your way back home. Because the Bible said, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. We'll solve this great mystery. We're going to get it all worked out. Do not worry about it. We have a lot of things to do. I believe that we have many more things to fulfill. Scriptures, prophecies, even our own soul evolution as we go back not only to the world, but the worlds. Think about the worlds. Now let me give you a real interesting point that my brother up in the great state of Maryland passed on to me, a little tidbit of information, and I was just blown away with how he fit this in. Very timely. He sent this down to me and said, "Pastor Buddy, I'm amazed at what I found here." He said, "I was reading the New Testament Apocrypha and the second book of James, and I ran across an unfamiliar word, and I'm going to spell it for you. Demivrge. It was in, I was surprised by the dictionary definition when I went to the dictionary to look up the definition. It says, in the gospel, a supernatural being imaged as creating or fashioning the world in subordination to the supreme being. Now that just summed it up and what I've done on this Creator series. And tonight will be the final of our four-part Creator series. If you'd like to have it, you can write for it. We're going to start another series to take another layer to the dimension aspect of the journeys, because we certainly won't end it here, because at the point of the pyramid, we're only beginning. Now, we've come a long way, baby, since then. 10,500 years in the past and 10,500 years in the future, maybe we can put this together. The word is a imaged, if you will, supernatural being as creating or fashioning the world in subordination to the supreme being. I told you that God is a spirit. But those who are able to manipulate the energy, the spirit, God power, if you will, tapping into the mathematical sequencing of the universe and drawing energy and power like Tesla in 1930. We had this information. We had this technology. We could all be riding in ships lighter than air right now. Your government has them. We could all be enjoying fossil fuel energy. The government has it, but they're withholding it from you because the master reptilian race who are interested in ruling over must keep the knowledge to keep the power. So the subordination of the supreme being, and sometimes regarded as the originators of evil. Well, I told you, I would just love to thank this brother for bringing this great, powerful word into my vision failure. It ties in exactly what I said in the series when I began in Fallen Angels. I did 12 hours on that. And the first revelation that came out of it was Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, that the world became dark and void, not was created dark and void. Something caused it to fall abruptly. Could it be that these in subordination as co-creators to the supreme being, that they are now regarded as the originators of evil, as we found out in Genesis 6. And that would make it perfect to show you that we are being subjected to darkness, blindness, deception, and a restriction of technology so that the 3% of the world's population could reign over or rule over or empower themselves over 97% of the rest of those who dwell here, particularly those who are not from here. We're going to have to figure it out, folks. We're going to have to get back to the Master's chapel. We're going to have to get back to the sky and the heavens. We're going to have to start looking into the heavens from which we are hewn, from the rock, from the river of the Milky Way, from the constellation of someplace there where we are from. And we're going back to, as co-creators and founders of good originators, not the bad. The bad guys are, you know, they're going to have to pay for what they've done. And think about the misery, and think about the aggravation, and think about all these things that have happened to you just because you wanted to be a creator. You wanted to have children. So you became a god. You started creating little babies. And they grew up to be nightmares on your Elm Street. Or they proved to be a blessing. In some cases, one came out to be good and one came out to be bad. And this is the strange paradox of why we're here. So the four seasons, I got to wrap this thing up. I got to get out of here tonight. My time's already gone. Joe will be pulling the plug on me if I don't get off here. Let me give you my address. Praise God. I won't be here tomorrow night. I will be traveling to Natchez, Mississippi for a very important meeting, and I'll be gone for 4 days. So I'll be back next Tuesday night. Hopefully I'll be online next Tuesday night for you on Microbroadcasters at 100 FM, the flagship station on the Rock. And we'll start another series of a layer of dimension of the Creator's journey. You can find me at Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'm live tonight. And this is, by the way, I haven't given you the date of this time, and you have to give that up. This is November the 4th. And so then, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. You can email me at buddy1centurytale.net. And that about wraps it up. We're going to have to get out of here. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you on down the line. In time, next Tuesday night, praise God.